Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one in the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Hey, Maggie.
Hey, Mike.
How's it going?
It's going well. Look at us recording in person.
I know. You surprised me today.
I did. I surprised you with your Friends on Fire sign. It was pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. Well, I was waiting for you to join the Zoom meeting.
How annoyed were you that I was late?
I was not like super annoyed, but I was annoyed.
You had a lot of thoughts coming through your head. And then I showed up with a surprise, so he was less annoyed.
Yes. Yes.
So we're recording in person in the same room for only the second time in like 3 years because we recorded in Austria. We had to go like halfway around the world to record in person. Now we're in Mike's basement because I came over today to surprise him with a sign during our recording time.
And for you to pick up that shirt that you had us buy.
And for me, I don't know if we ever talked about the shirt.
It was a great story. I don't know why
I don't know if it's
it.
Worth repeating, but some future day we'll talk about the shirt that you had to be like basically a German citizen to order. So Britta's brother ordered it for me. And I paid him anyways. And then when Britta just gave it to me, I was like, oh, I'm less excited about it now than when I like had to have it in Germany.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. I'm very excited for it.
Good.
It was an overpriced shirt that I'm excited to now own.
Yeah. How much was it again?
It was $100.
Yeah, I remembered. I just wanted you to admit it on the show.
Someday people will see it. It was $100 and I have no job.
Right.
So nowhere to wear it to. And it's actually a casual shirt, but. Which makes it even worse, but let's keep going. All right. Before we get started today, we have a quick favor to ask of all of you. Could you please pause the show for a second? Go find this podcast in the Apple Podcast app. It has to be in that app. And then leave us a rating and a written review. Those written reviews and positive ratings really help other people to find our podcast and help support the work that we're doing to get more friends to talk about money and to improve their finances. So I know we're asking for a little bit of extra time for you, but we would really appreciate it. And yeah, thank you so much.
All right. Now that you've unpaused the show and you are listening to us again, we are going to be doing something a little bit different today. So we have now recorded 162 episodes.
Three, if you count one that hasn't aired yet.
Okay. 163 episodes. And we're going to kind of rewind this a little bit.
Was that good?
Yep,
that was my rewind.
Yeah, that was
you don't even need sound effects. You got
me. Royalty free. And we are going to be talking about how you get started on a path towards financial independence. Now, all of these things are going to be topics that we talked about in detail, sometimes with episodes, multiple episodes unto themselves. But we're going to try to consolidate this into a simple, how do I get started view?
Yeah. And you know what we should include with this, which we'll include in the show notes? We'll include a list of kind of all the episodes that correspond to these things, because I think it's helpful to kind of have a like, where do I begin list? You know, some people just, we get messages from a lot of people that find our podcast, start from the beginning, and if they have the wherewithal, make it through 160 episodes. But some people need to be a little bit more kind of focused and might pick and choose certain topics. And so we can do a kind of where do I begin list of episodes to listen to.
That's a great idea.
So I'm excited for this discussion, Mike, because one of the questions I most frequently get from people, and this is not like people reaching out about the show, this is like people in my everyday life that I encounter who somehow hear about the podcast or hear that Greg and I just retired, and they're so kind of overwhelmed by the concept. They don't know where to begin or how to get started. And that really is what this episode is kind of geared towards, is where do you begin? How do you get started to generally improve your finances or work towards financial freedom, which is, you know, the ultimate goal in, quote, improving your finances.
And this might be a good opportunity to mention that we are still actively working on some sort of coaching business in the future to help people who might be a little overwhelmed with this.
Yeah. We say actively working as in like we've...
I'm actively thinking about it.
Mike's thinking about
not putting it on paper, nor discussing it with you.
We might have a meeting soon to discuss it.
We are actively thinking about it.
We're thinking about actively working on it would be a better way to say it.
But as you listen to this episode, if you find yourself thinking, I still can't wrap my head around this, I need somebody to just tell me what to do and walk me through this process, let us know what you're interested in, and we will incorporate that into our plans.
Yeah. You know, Mike, I struggle with the whole coaching business. Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because I love doing this podcast, and I like just doing it for free, and that's one of the things that Mike and I are very committed that we will continue doing basically forever until one of us loses our voice. I got the odds on me losing my voice first.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be like 90 years old, still like, you know, talking like this. And I don't know how to impersonate a 90-year-old woman.
Yeah, do we become more Southern as we become older?
I just did?
Yeah.
So I love it. We're going to keep doing the podcast forever. But we often get like in-depth questions from people and or people who really do, like we've had people ask us if we'll do coaching. And they want personalized experience and focus. And I want more time in my life. So those things don't always align. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to get back into like a big commitment of constantly having coaching clients and, you know, trying to like make money from it and all that. But at the same time, if I'm going to give up time in my life, which is what I've worked so hard to get the benefit of, we're going to charge and we're going to, you know, offer some sort of personalized service that makes it worth Mike and I giving up our time to do that, if that makes sense. But do you know what I mean, Mike? Like, you're looking at me, and now that we're in person, I can really see that look where you have that, like, what are you talking about, Maggie? Is my point even making sense?
Yes, I understand, and I agree with your point. I would say that one thing my dad always used to tell me is anything worth doing is worth doing for money.
Yes, yeah.
Or anything worth doing, you should get
paid
for.
Well, to be clear, I wasn't ever questioning that I would do it for free. Yeah. We're doing it for free through this podcast. I was more saying, I struggle with even wanting to put that time against it because I'm not trying to like, we just left our jobs. Like, I'm not trying to refill that with something else. Mm-hmm. I want to fill it with things I'm passionate about and in small doses. So like when we do, I shouldn't say if we do some coaching, when we do some coaching, it will be in small batches. It'll be like a craft beer. You know, we
craft
make like
beer financial coaching.
Craft financial coaching. Yeah.
I think this is still a worthwhile activity, though.
I agree.
And I'm pretty excited about it because, you know, we get a ton of people who want help with this or start asking us tax questions or all this stuff that you started asking me when we first met. And to really provide a valuable answer, it takes a lot of time and focus from both parties to dig into the individual situations. And so there's no way that we can kind of part-time do bespoke coaching on this because you have to understand the person's situation and that person needs to be doing a lot of work in this process as well. So I think this is the next evolution of being able to help people, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah, but to be clear, we can do it part-time. You're saying the other people need to be, the other half needs to be committed to.
Whenever we launch this, it is going to require the person receiving the coaching to do a lot of work. I mean, there is no easy way around this. It is like exercising and losing weight. Like, there is no magic pill in personal finance. You need to do work and it's going to be painful. But if you want to retire early or you want to take a lower paying job so you could travel the world or whatever it is, you have to put forth some effort.
It's funny that you compare it to exercising and losing weight because Liz Gets Loaded, who we're interviewing, she's on Instagram as at Liz Gets Loaded. We're interviewing her in a couple weeks on the podcast. She went off today about something in the book. What is it? I Will Teach You to Be Rich. Is that the name of it?
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't read it, and she was being very high level about it, so I don't know like how he was doing it. But essentially, the author was comparing financial management to like weight loss, and I don't know what, but in a kind of an offensive way. You didn't, I don't think, Mike. It made me think of it because I was like, I just read that this morning on Instagram.
Okay. Not sure what to make of
that. We're all over the place right now.
All right, let's get on to our episode.
Leave us a review in financial coaching. Let's get into where does one begin?
So we have a number of steps, 11 actually. you'll notice that there's 11, not 10.
Yeah, because I once told you that stat about, except you wrote there's 11, but like I'm going to turn it into like 27 before we're done with this.
Be a 3-hour episode. So we're going to go through all these steps, and there is a ton to unpack in each of these. And so just keep that in mind. This is going to be high level, but we want to give you the framework by which you can start down this journey. And then, as I just mentioned, it still requires a lot of work. You still have to go research. You still have to do a lot of legwork here, but hopefully this gives you the path.
And like I said, we'll give you specific episodes. So if you want to dig into any of these, you can go listen to, you know, another 30 minutes or an hour deep dive on each of these items.
Yep. All right. So let's get started.
Okay.
The first thing you need to do is you need to know your why. So there's a saying, your why for Phi. I don't know who came up with that, but it is important to understand why you are going through this, what could be a struggle, and what your purpose is. And so any goal needs inspiration, and you need to visualize what it is you want in your life and to keep that as the purpose to help you stay on track. And it could be that you hate your boss and you're miserable in your job. That is not like the best motivation. We recommend having something that's like a positive motivation.
Like you like your family and you want to spend more time with them.
You
want
to travel the world with your family. You want to spend your time volunteering for causes that you believe in and not working for a greedy corporation. Something like that is great motivation.
Yeah. It could be that what a lot of people learned their why or a dose of their why during COVID when they all of a sudden were living like a slower life, working remote, had more time, just margin in their lives, had more time for their family and were around their families more. So it's just, there's a ton of things that could be your why.
But if you don't have a good why, none of these things are going to stick for you.
Yeah.
You need to have the proper motivation. And so spend some time thinking about what you want your life to look like and use that as your motivation.
So we will put a link in the show notes to one of Mike's favorite books that he turned me on to, which is it Design Your Life or Designing Your Life?
Designing Your Life, Designing I think. Life.
It's one of those two. We'll put a link in the show notes. It is a great book, and it takes this like product management approach to figuring out your why and just designing your life in a thoughtful way, the same way that you would design a kid's birthday party, or I don't know, maybe that's not the best comparison, but just to put true thought against your life and what you want your life to be like.
And I'm glad you brought that book up, because not to spoil number 11, our last tip, but that tip, which we will get to, comes from Designing Your Life.
Yeah,
and it is bringing this visualization full circle.
Yeah. Okay. Number 2 is to get your partner on board. So if your partner is not on this journey with you, or worse, is moving in an opposite direction, it's going to be really hard for you to get started towards financial freedom. Not impossible, but significantly harder. And we actually did an episode on this, and I want to do some more episodes on this, because this is a very common problem or opportunity that people have in terms of their partner or spouse or whoever is not on the same page. And sometimes, like we said, kind of moving in the opposite direction. And it's not impossible. There's a lot of kind of tips and tricks and strategies to bring them along. I think the biggest one I'll touch on now is you do you. Focus on you and let them start to see some of those changes before you just like lambast them about all the things they're doing wrong with their finances and expect that it has to start. It doesn't have to start as a co-journey, right? It needs to end as a, it ideally ends as a journey with you on this, you know, together. But start with yourself. Get yourself in the right place. And often in using the, weight loss comparison, Mike, of focusing on yourself and having someone else see you looking better, feeling better, is a really often a very successful approach on many goals in life.
And I'm going to continue on the weight loss example and say that
this is going to kill us. I hope we get it right.
Yeah. It is also important to find something that motivates your partner, and know that it may not be the same as you. If you are starting to run as your exercise to lose weight, your partner may hate running. And if you are constantly bugging them to run with you, they will start to resent it.
Yeah.
However, if you introduce them to rowing or swimming or some rec league sport, they will find something that helps them exercise that is motivating to them. And it's the same way with personal finance. It may not be this podcast, although we hope it is, but it could be a different book, a different article. There's something out there which will speak to your partner if it is different from you.
Yeah. And we're just going to like really kill this weight loss scenario. to make a comparison to weight loss, there are times in someone's life where weight loss could be important for medical reasons, for health reasons, for feeling good about yourself emotionally and physically. I'm not focused on that ever for aesthetic reasons. And I think money is actually the same way, right? Like, we believe that financial freedom and just being on top of your personal finances has so many benefits to you mentally and physically and emotionally. And it's not about, you know, looking a certain way to anybody. You know what I mean? Anyways, I just was having, as we were talking, making that joke, I was like having that thought of like, actually, they're very similar in so many ways.
They are very similar.
Okay.
Let's try to tie in weight loss to every single one of
these.
Let's
do it.
All right. Number three, track your expenses. This is such a critical piece of the puzzle. And it's because, like, how do you know how much you need to retire if you don't know what you're spending? And I have so many conversations with people where I'll ask them, well, how much do you think you spend in a year? And they'll be like, well, it's probably $75,000. And then once I start asking them some questions, it turns out it's $175,000. And so you have to understand what it is you're spending money on.
Until we met, I didn't fully track our expenses. Greg and I didn't. And I had a general thought of what it might be, but it was fascinating to actually see. And now for multiple years, it's pretty consistent, actually, even though you have a lot of kind of things that can swing year to year. But to get a sense of...
Like expensive trips to Europe?
Like expensive, yeah. Like, yeah, expensive shirts, you know, all sorts of things. But yeah, it's incredibly empowering to know this is what it costs my family to live at a level of happiness that I feel good about right now.
Mm-hmm. And knowing your expenses is going to come into play in some of the next steps we're going to talk about.
Yeah. So along with tracking your expenses, number four is tracking your net worth. It's kind of the other half with expenses, in the sense of, we always say what gets measured gets better. And you can't improve your net worth if you don't even know what it is today, right? And I found it to be such a kind of fun thing to track. And even, you know, most people's net worth is going to be negative when they start this process, right? You may be one of the, you know, lucky, privileged few that your net worth is positive when you start tracking your net worth, and that's great. But remember that most people's will be negative, and so you're tracking it becoming less negative, if that's mm-hmm. a term. But essentially, this is keeping a spreadsheet, and we have one that, you know, we can provide that has all of your assets and all of your liabilities. So your liabilities would be things like your mortgage, any credit card debt, student loan debt, etc. And all your assets would be like the amount of equity you have in your home. And you're subtracting the difference between the two, right?
So think of it like this. You are about to start a road trip. How many miles does your car get? That's your expenses per gallon. Once you do that, you're like, well, it's 20 miles per gallon. Your net worth chart is then knowing how much gas you have in the tank, because it could be 10 gallons, it could be 20 gallons, it could be 1 gallon, and you won't know how long you will be able to drive unless you know how much gas is in your tank. So know your expenses, know your net worth. Now, number five, once you have started tracking this stuff, is to cut your expenses. Now, this is at times a little painful for people, but it is such an important step, because if you find yourself spending much more than you really need to, or your spending is so high that it really isn't feasible that you're going to be able to find financial independence in the time frame you're talking about, you will have to cut expenses. Now, you don't need to live in squalor here, but you do need to start to reduce your expenses and find that ideal level of happiness without overspending. And so if going out to dinner one day a week is what really makes you happy and going out twice is diminishing returns, cut it down to one day a week. It doesn't mean that you can't go out for dinner ever, but you need to reduce it enough to make an impact. Now, some tips on this: groceries, cell phone bill, eating out, home services, and DIY projects. All of these things are very easy to identify and reduce your expenses about. And we kind of sprinkle all these little tips in throughout all of our episodes. So we will recommend 162 of them for you so you can do some more research.
So I said it's like 11 tips with hundreds built in.
Right.
Number six is to invest the excess. So I was just having a discussion this weekend with a couple people who, I love meeting people like this, because it's like the old Maggie. It's like the Maggie circa, you know, 5 to 10 years ago.
The ones who buy $100 shirts on vacation?
No, not that Maggie. She's always been around and she'll always be around. No, the Maggie that didn't know how to invest and where to begin and thought I needed a financial planner and was kind of on a search for a financial... It's like being on a search... Let's keep making like metaphors and comparisons to other things. Like, it's like being in a search for a relationship and always thinking you need someone else to complete you and realizing who you need to complete you is you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're not good with yourself, you're not ready for someone else. My point is, I didn't know how to invest. That's not going to work. So ignore what I just said. But the point is, I did not know where to begin. I was on the search for a financial planner for years. I tried a few. Didn't work out well. Those relationships ended with my money lost and nothing gained other than the experience of having a bad experience, which I guess is to be something gained. Anyways, this is so important because I was overcomplicating things. I could invest myself in basic index funds and I hadn't ever been taught that. I didn't learn that anywhere until I learned it originally from Rich and Regular and then more so from you, but from the FIRE community. And so this, we did an episode on 5 simple steps to begin investing. And we'll put a link in the show notes to that. But investing in the market and all of the market, which is the concept of an index fund, it comes with risk and you could lose some money, I would say in the short term. But over time, the market has always delivered if you diversify. And diversifying is index funds because you're buying a tiny slice of the entire market. The FIRE community loves index funds. They're low cost and they're simple and they're easy to understand kind of what they are. And they're easy to buy yourself also. So we encourage you to invest your savings in index funds and which is in the stock market, and to learn about investing, right? You don't have to learn a lot. You don't have to go deep. It's pretty simple. You could get most of what you need to know through the episode that we have on 5 Simple Steps to Investing. Or there's some different books you can read also. It's not difficult.
There's like a million books about it.
Yeah, there's a million books about it. It's not difficult. There's also a million books telling you to do like other things in terms of more complicated investments. But we are pro invest the excess, do it in the stock market, do it through index funds because they're low cost and they're diversified. And the market for the last 50, 60 years has historically performed an average return of 7 to 10%.
And while we hesitate to provide specific investment advice, the FIRE community overall loves the index fund VTSAX. This is a total stock market index fund, low cost. It tracks the results of every single company in the stock market. If you wanted something to do right now, you could just start investing in this. And yeah, as you learn more about investing, you can figure out specific industries or types of businesses you want to invest in. You could invest in real estate. You can do all kinds of stuff with your money. But if you want to do something now, you could do one ETF that's going to track the entire stock market.
And there are a lot of people who have all their money in that one ETF.
Yeah.
That is diversified in itself.
That's right.
And just so for anyone who is sort of confused or even overwhelmed by that, if you're with a different brokerage, so that's a Vanguard fund, you can buy it through some different brokerages, but like I'm with Fidelity, so I buy different funds because Fidelity has, every brokerage house has some version of VTSAX.
Yeah, there's going to be 100 of these things. If you just Google easy ways to start investing or go to a different blog, everybody's going to have very similar recommendations. They're all sort of the same and the process for buying them is all sort of the same. And it is much less complicated than you think.
Yeah. By the way, when you said if you just Google like easy ways to start investing, I was like, man, there's probably so much crap that comes up trying to like sell you courses and mm-hmm. some sketchy stuff. So be careful because it's super simple. And nobody should be charged, other than like buying someone's book or something, nobody should be charging you large amounts of money for you to learn how to buy index funds.
Yep.
It's free. Your brokerage will teach you how to do it.
All right. Number 7 is going to be calculate your 4%. And what I mean by that is there's this concept of the 4% rule, which is 25 times your spending level. This is what the target you need in order to withdraw your money safely and not need to earn any more. And this is something that came up a couple decades ago. Everybody follows it as a very simplified way of understanding when you can reach financial independence. And so if you spend $100,000 a year based on your tracking, you will need 25 times that, $2.5 million. If you invest that, it grows over time. You can withdraw 4% of it a year and never outlive your money. That is the concept of it. So once you have calculated your expenses, once you have reduced your expenses through a little bit of hard work and you know what level of spending makes you happy, multiply that by 25 and you get your 4% rule. That is your target number. That's your goal.
And that's the, we've talked about this before, but that's kind of the low point of the goal in my personal opinion. I think there's a lot of kind of padding. That's a, that is the most kind of, that's just to me the initial starting point of a goal. You should do much more detailed math at some point. But that's the simple way of thinking about what you need to get to that
point. It gives you some direction about kind of where you need to be in order to reach financial independence.
Yeah, it's directionally accurate. Yeah. Right? Perfect. Okay, the next one is on that point of it being directionally accurate, set your target. So I didn't personally have a target of just the 4% rule. I wanted more on top of that, which I think we've talked about in some different episodes. Set a time target to keep you motivated. Set a dollar target to keep net worth target to keep you motivated that may be tied to different kind of milestones in your life of I want to get to this number by this age and et cetera. And setting that target, just like we talked about on last week's episode, actually around Parkinson's Law, will really help you to be more motivated and aggressive and disciplined on your quest to get to whatever that target is. And again, it might be a combination of a dollar amount and a date.
And what I've found in talking to people is that everybody kind of has an age in mind that they want to retire.
Yeah.
But what I think you'll find is that if you think you want to retire at 60, but you're not doing anything about it, you're going to retire at 65. But on the flip side, if you say you want to retire at 60 and you start working towards it aggressively, you're going to find out you can do it at 55 or 50. You will make such dramatic progress once you follow these steps and start working towards it that I think you're going to be shocked.
Yeah, very true.
All right, number 9. This one's kind of specific, but it applies to almost everybody that has a full-time job. Take advantage of company benefits and savings programs. So every company is different, but whatever yours offers, consider signing up for them. So 401k, health savings account, deferred comp if you have it, stock purchase plans, even discounts on car insurance or cell phones or gym memberships, whatever your company offers, you should look into taking advantage of it because over time, over your entire working career, this is going to be a ton of money.
You said the 401k one, Mike, but this is the one that is just the power move, right? The younger you are, being able to, as close as you can to maxing out the 401k, and we don't mean maxing out as in the company's match. That's of course, we mean maxing out to the IRS's annual limits, which is in 2022, the amount is $20,500 in the United States.
So this is item 9B.
Yes. If you only do one thing and get it right, maxing out your 401k as early as possible and making some of the, you know, sacrifices associated with that. It's a power move. I think we did a whole episode on what a power move it is. We've done a number of episodes on 401ks.
Excellent point, Maggie.
Okay. I didn't max out my 401k until I met you. Do you know that?
Mm-mm. I think I did know that.
I think because we were talking about taxes, like you said, I went to Mike for tax advice, like all people should do for their financial business partners at work. And I was in a high tax bracket, was not even thinking about things I could proactively do to lower my taxes and to invest more for the future. I think I did the company match. I mean, I always did that, but I maybe did more than that, but I never even crossed my mind to max it out.
Yeah. And you weren't really deferring your compensation to any meaningful degree.
I was only doing the company match on that also. And I got into, I mean, I was like a willing pupil. You know, I immediately was like, okay, let's do it. I probably did it like in front of you in my office. I probably was like, let's up that 401k right now. And then I sadly had to wait till the next calendar year to up my DCP. Okay. On that note of taxes and things I learned from you, number 10 is do your own taxes, which sounds intimidating to many people. I used to do my own taxes early on in life. And then I became a grown up and I did what I thought all grown ups did, which was hire an accountant.
Yeah, you thought they were more complicated than they were.
I did. The same way I thought I needed a financial planner. And sometimes I do it through like H&R Block where they kind of offer support. And same thing with my husband, Greg. And Mike, I think you finally sold Greg on it. And then Greg started doing our taxes, which is even better than me doing the taxes.
Yeah.
It's still like I'm doing them, but I'm supporting them with information that he requests from me. But it has been really helpful. It's not that complicated. And we have some fairly complex kind of things we have to account for, but still not that complicated. There's tools that really make it easy. Like we use TurboTax, really kind of just, I was going to say idiot proofs it, but it makes it really easy. Like it's pretty asking easy. You questions in simple English about different things that have or haven't happened.
Like, did you give birth to any new children this year?
Right. Like things you should know the answer to if you're you. And it really is helpful because it makes you take a closer look at like what's actually happening with your money and what's like the taxes you're paying. So when you start to really like do your own taxes, for example, you realize how amazing it is to max out your 401k from a tax benefit. So yes, it's helpful from an investment. It's pre-tax dollars, but it lowers your taxable income by $20,000 also. So if you max it out, so if, let's say you do $20,000 a year, you've just lowered the amount of income that you're paying taxes on. And you feel it differently when you do your own taxes and when you see the calculations. And when you, the second you put in that field and you see the amount you owe change.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
This reminds me of when we were first discussing your taxes. We had just met. And I think you thought that your taxes were complicated and the person you had hired would, of course, do them accurately. And something caught your eye as
you messed something up.
As being confusing. And you told me what the numbers were. And I could tell instantly that it was a mistake. Just because like I understood the basics of how taxes are calculated and you use that, you went back to him and it was a very large mistake that he had made and you had it corrected.
Yeah.
But if you were not in a position to like learn how taxes work, you could conceivably be spending tens of thousands of dollars more on taxes every single year, either because you're doing something wrong or because the person you have hired is doing something wrong. It is such a useful skill to have.
Yeah. And it's like a lot of things where I do like to assume that someone where this is their sole business, you know, a financial planner, an accountant, a plumber, whatever, can do that thing better than I can. And sometimes that is the case, but it's not always the case. So even if you are hiring someone and for whatever reason you still need to hire someone, you should understand it, like go through it with them. They will always offer to like walk through it with you. Most people probably never take them up on it. And like, understand it is just what I would challenge you to do, right? Mm-hmm. So even if you just can't quite take it on doing it yourself or handle it at this point in your life, like I get it, I feel you, no judgment, but I would challenge you to try to understand it more. And for those who can, we really do challenge you to just do it yourself, which is, like we said, we think can be incredibly enlightening, empowering, and it feels good. Like I love...
You love when Greg does your taxes for you.
I love when Greg does my taxes for me, you know? No, I love like doing things. I love learning new things and figuring out how to do something and learning more about something. And so I actually get a lot of joy and pleasure from that experience. And also another big thing, when you hire an accountant, in case you haven't noticed, you still have to provide, you have to do all the legwork. You have to do all the documentation. You have to organize all your stuff. Like it's not like you just outsourced it all. Like 70% of the work of doing your taxes is the document collection and prep. It's not the actual like filling out of the forms.
Mm-hmm.
Most of your accountants all have somebody who's just like data entry, who's just typing in all the numbers.
Yeah.
I can type my numbers into TurboTax very effectively.
Or Greg does.
I can ask Greg to type my numbers. Sometimes I type them in myself.
All right. Number 11, to bring this back full circle to designing your life. One of the concepts in that book that I really loved was that you should have test drives for all of these things that you think you want to do with your life. If your goal is to start a coffee shop, don't quit your job, take out a huge loan, and start a coffee shop. You should go work in a coffee shop, intern at a coffee shop, talk to people who run coffee shops, test these things out before you start doing it with your life full time. And so our last piece of advice, after you've developed your vision, after you've started going through all of these steps to understand your finances, is that don't wait until you have reached financial independence to start doing all the things that you want to do with your life. Start doing them today. And you may not be able to do as much of it or as many of the things as you want, but you will at least start and you will learn if it is exactly what you want, or you will learn that it's something, it doesn't work for you and you need to go figure it out. But at least you are improving your life as you are working towards financial independence.
Yeah, I love this about the Fioneers, who we, was one of our very first interviews. You remember, Mike? Mm-hmm. Their thing is all about, it's a, like, they don't want to be miserable on their journey to FI. They want to enjoy the journey. And I think that really is kind of the spirit of what you're talking about here. And also what the Designing Your Life book was talking about, in the sense of, you know, just, you don't have to wait for all this stuff, right? You maybe can't do it all tomorrow, but you could start doing some things. Like, we started doing this podcast while I was still working. I say that as if, like, you'll not be working soon. And it wasn't, it made work more enjoyable. It made me happy, right? It's great to have, like, hobbies and interests outside of your job. And it got me even more excited to retire, because I already had a taste of something that I could put more time into, and just the idea of other hobbies and interests. And it reminded me how enjoyable it is to do stuff I want to do and not just work all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I hope this was a helpful starting guide for people who are new to the financial independence journey. And it gives you some, at least, action items on how you can begin this.
And speaking of beginning, I think we should wrap things up right now.
Top three takeaways.
Top three takeaways.
All right. Number one, understand your why. Set a vision for your life and a time you want to reach it.
Number two, track your expenses and your net worth, because what gets measured gets better.
And number three, don't wait. Don't wait to start working on your finances. Don't wait to start doing the activities that make you happy. Start now.
Nice. I like it. Okay. Well, thank you all for listening. Mike, it's been a pleasure to be in person for this. We should do this
more
often.
Yes, thank you for coming over.
No problem. If you've been challenged or inspired by what you've heard today, please rate and review the show. You can also subscribe to make sure that you never miss an episode.
If you have any thoughts or questions, we'd love to hear from you. And you can leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370 or hit us up on Instagram.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Maggie.
Bye.
Bye.